Good morning. Good morning. We got this thing on yet? Not yet. I got it turned on. There we go. Yvette's got it. Man, that team back there in the box, I mean, y'all give it up for Yvette. She's working back there. All right. Welcome. My name's Joey. Some of you know me, some of you don't. But Joey Ridgel, thank you, John. I appreciate that. That mic seems a little bit hot, but it's all right. Okay, so we've been going over a series about relationships. And today, go ahead, Yvette, pull that one up. Today, let me see if I can do this. One forward, two back. Welcome. We're going to get there. Relationships is our Sunday series. Next one is married with children. Married with children. How many of y'all, some of y'all, scan the crowd here. Most of y'all or some of you would remember a series, Married with Children. Y'all remember that series? Yeah, it's a little TV series. It's not the way it's supposed to be. So anyhow, I think it was Al and Peggy and some more. I don't remember their kids' names, but it was a series and it was funny, but it's not how to model your marriage. All right. So this morning, let's start off with just a little icebreaker here. A woman walked into the kitchen and to find her husband stalking around with a fly swatter. And she said, "What are you doing?" And he responded, "I'm hunting flies." She said, "Oh, are you killing any?" And he said, "Yep, 3 males and 2 females," he replied. Intrigued, she said, "How can you tell them apart?" He responded, "3 were on the remote and 2 were on the phone." Males and females. That's funny right there, wasn't it? All right. Let me ask you a question here. What's the difference between love and marriage? What's the difference between love and marriage? The answer is love is blind and marriage is an eye opener. Amen. Come on. All right. Y'all got that? All right. For those of you who are in love right now and you're not married, love is blind and marriage is an eye-opener. You don't know that person until you actually spend some time with them. But I'm going to. So you say, well, what makes you an expert on or, you know, qualified to talk about this topic, marriage, married with children? I got 32 years of marriage behind me. Amen. Yeah. 32 years of marriage, 3 sons, 3 daughter-in-laws, 3 grandsons, and they're all sitting right over there this morning. So let me tell you a little story. So when I was 8 years old, I was going to a church in Paine Springs. We had moved there. I think in 1976 or 1977, I was 8, 9 years old, and I met a little girl there at a church and went to school with her. And to give you the short version, we was riding the bus, and she was sweet on me, and, you know, I see why. I was sweet on her, and we're sitting on the bus, and we're holding hands on the bus on our way to school. Maybe it was on the way home from school, and I leaned over to her, and I told her, I said, "I'm going to marry you." And she leaned right back over to me, and she said, "I know, because I'm going to marry you." And however, 7 to 24 years old is, 18, 17 years, something like that later, I did marry that young lady. And she's sitting right over there. So, and that's been 32 years ago. In Proverbs, Scripture says, "He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. And all the husbands said, amen. 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 And then in Psalms 127, 3 through 5, it says, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they are counted, when they contend with their opponents in the court. Okay. You know, there's things that just go together, right? There is, you know, like the colors black and white. The colors black and white go together. I mean, like if you paint a house, white house, black trim, you know, black and white. Everybody says, what's black and white? Those things are just said together. And then you have sweet and salty. You have sweet and sour. You have Joey and Pam. These are things that go together. There's things that just go together. They just fit. And how do you know these things go together? Well, you're never going to be part. Who wants to be with somebody just like yourself? If you know your flaws and you know what trips you up, what you stumble over, who wants to be with somebody else that's going to stumble and trip and fall over the same things that you're falling and stumbling and tripping over? No, you need somebody that when you are weak, they are strong. And when they are weak, you are strong. Amen? God's going to pair you up like that. And with that being said, the basis for everything, the basis for 32 years of marriage, three wonderful children who attend church, three grandsons, there's going to be some more coming, quite sure, grandchildren, I don't know if they're all going to be grandsons. We do need a girl in the house. But with all that, the thing that establishes that, the thing that you can build upon, is a commitment to God first. A commitment to God first. Not a commitment, an afterthought, that, hey, you know, I need to take care of all this stuff. There's a hierarchy in the way that relationships rank. And you can ask my wife, you can ask Miss Pam, you can ask my children, you can ask them, say, hey, how does your dad rank the relationships that he's in? And they would tell you, God is number one above all. And then is going to be my wife. And then, some of you are going to be upset about this. And then it's my children. And then it's my church. So it's God, wife, spouse, children, church. That's how I rank. That's the top four in my life. And it's been solid, and I think you can back that up with Scripture. In Matthew, one finger. You got to do the one finger. One forward, two back. If you ever want to know how that works, you touch it one time with one finger, it goes forward. You touch it with two fingers, it goes backwards. So Matthew 22:37-38, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your heart. This is the first and the greatest commandment. Says it right there. So it's a commitment to God first. It's a commitment to God first. You've got to build that relationship upon a solid foundation. And who is the only foundation that's going to be forever? It's Jesus. So you build your life upon that. Now, you can come to that. It's a long struggle, and there's a bunch of stuff and that you have to deal with and you got to contend with, and you're going to struggle through by having your life built up on some other foundation other than the foundation. Capital T, the foundation. The foundation is God, God first. And if you build your life upon that foundation, then all the other stuff will just fall. I'm going to say it's going to fall into place, and I'm going to use that term loosely, that it's going to fall into place. But no, you got to fight for it. You got to live it right. You got to walk the line. And we're going to cover some more of that stuff here in just a minute, because our second point is with a spouse, husband or wife, is you're going to have to be commitment to one another. You know, nowadays can I just be like 100% real with y'all, tell you what I think? I mean, people change, and it's nothing. And so listen, I'm not judging. I'm going to say this right now, I'm not judging. But cheap people change wives like they change cars. They change husbands like they change cars. There's no commitment in today's society. You have to be committed to one another. You've got to be committed to one another so that when one is weak, you're strong. And then when you're weak, the other one's strong. That's the truth. And so if you're sitting on the front row, you're going to get some spit on you. I see some spit flying. Even in your relationship with God, do you feel like every morning that you get up that you just want to serve the Lord? Do you feel that way? No. I don't. Every morning I don't. Some mornings I get up, I'm all pumped up. Yeah, let's go. I get up, first thing in my mouth is a thank you, Jesus. Thank you for everything that you've done for me. And the other mornings I get up, I'm like, why in the world did you wake me up? Why do I got to get out of bed? But it's a commitment. I committed my life to him years ago because he committed his life to me before even he created creation. And so I'm going to be committed to that. So even when I don't feel like it, even when I come on Sunday mornings, and you should be feel like it on Sunday mornings when you come to church, feel like raising your hands and singing praises to him and worshiping the King of Kings, the one who is holy, 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 who resides in unapproachable light. That one, you should feel like doing it at that point. But it's when you don't feel like it that you still do it is where commitment comes in. And so it's the same way when you're committed to your lovely bride or your husband, that even when they, you're like, that dude right there, and there's been plenty of those times, y'all, that I am no saint. There's been plenty of times when I know Miss Pam, she has never told me this verbally, but I know there's been plenty of times when she says, that dude right there, I'm through with him. There's been plenty of times she could have said that. I'm through with him. I ain't trusting him. I'm not telling him anything. I'm not telling him anything because he just goes and tells whoever. And she's like, I'm just through it. I'm not going to have anything to do with him. But still, because she is committed to that relationship, she says, even though he is like that, I'm still going to be here. And I'm going to be what he needs me to be. And the same thing with her. There's times that I'm like, I don't know what that woman was thinking. I don't know why she made that decision. But you know what? Because I made a commitment to her 32 years ago, I'm going to be there because of a commitment. Huh? But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. This is Mark 10, 6 through 9. Made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh, so they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. And what that's saying is it's a united front. So, you know, behind closed doors, me and Ms. Ridgel may have some disagreements. You know, we got a family. We got a bit, there's a little septic business that we try to run. And behind closed doors, we may have our struggles. That's for real. Because we work together every day. It's like, but when we come out of that room, you know, sometimes I may give in to her and say, you know what? This is not a hill that I'm willing to die on. I'm gonna come over on your hill and we're gonna move on forward. And sometimes she's like, you know what? This is not a hill I'm willing to die on. I'm gonna move over to your hill and we're gonna go forward. And so, you know, when we walk out of that room, or we walked out of the bedroom into where the family was at, it was a unified front. You know, how are you going to raise your kids? How are you going to do all these things? How are you going to discipline? How are you going to do all those things? We was always unified in what we was putting forward, and we try to be unified in everything that we put forward. Is it always like that? No. Is there hiccups along the way? Of course there is. But we have a unified front. I don't know why this thing shut off on me. It's a unified front. The two will become one. So it's no longer Joey Ridgel as a individual and Pam Ridgel as an individual, but it is Mr. and Mrs. Ridgel as one person. So if you talk to her and she makes a decision, then I'm going to come alongside her and stand up behind that decision. If she makes a commitment for me, then she says, hey, I know I didn't tell you, but you got to cook hamburgers this afternoon at 2 o'clock. I'll be like, all right, I'm going to cook hamburgers at 2 o'clock. Or if I say, hey, Isaac and Olivia need to go somewhere. They asked me if we could keep the kids. And I can't be there right now, but I told them we would. So, and she'd be like, okay, I guess I'm keeping the kids. You know, so we can make that commitment for one another because we are one. We are one. All right. Everybody got that? Commitment to God and a commitment to one another. And here we go. Now, we talked about being married. Now we're going to talk about passing the baton. Who knows what passing the baton is? A baton. How, I don't even know how you say that. Baton. I better turn this phone on silent. It'll be ringing here in a minute. The baton. So a relay, like a relay. You know, a relay, the racer starts off, the person who begins the race starts off, and they run. And maybe they run 100 meters. Maybe they run 200 meters. Maybe they run 400 meters. And then they got to pass the baton off to the next person in the relay. And you want to do that smoothly, and you want them to be up to speed. Even there's a point of time where both people have their hand on the baton. And then the person that's prior releases the baton, and then they carry the baton on, or they carry the torch on. So you want to pass the baton. The most important, y'all need to write this down. Amen. Okay? The most important and pressing thing you can do is leading/introduce your children to the Lord. Amen. Lead them to the Lord. Introduce them to the real Jesus. Pass the baton, so that they can take that baton and carry it on without you. Even though you're still in the race, if they win, you win. Amen. You know? You got to pass the baton. The most important and pressing thing you can do is leading/introduce your children to the Lord. In Deuteronomy, he talks about this. It says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as a symbol on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Two. There we go. So, what he's saying there is no matter what you're doing, I mean, he kind of covered the whole 24-hour day. When you get up, when you lie down, when you're sitting in your house, when you're walking along the road, which, you know, when you're driving or when you're working, when you get home, when you go to bed, when you get up in the morning, teach your children. Be the example. Be the example for them. Are you always going to be that example? No. You're not always going to be the perfect example, but you should try to be, because it's a commitment to the Lord. Your commitment to God overrides everything. So if you're committed to the Lord and you and your spouse are committed to one another, pass the baton to your children. Teach them, guide them, give them direction on how they should act. By how? By the way that you act. I see my three sons back there. The one that is most like me, raise your hand. He knows. All right. Eli is the one that's most like me. He's the one, and I think, well, man, I don't know why he's so hard. Why? And he's not a hard person. He's very sweet and very kind. But the dude can be hard, and I know why. Because back in my younger years, I was a hard person. Empathy and compassion wasn't even on my radar. Can I get an amen, Pam? My brother's here too, and he can amen to that too. My baby brother is here. So the question is, this is going to be your, how do you live other than on Sunday morning? When you're on Sunday morning, man, we're all good about putting those masks on. Come to church. How are you doing? I'm doing great. Have a good week? Yeah, I had a good week. And then, you know, it could have been crazy. Crazy at work. Had a crazy week. Have, you know, I think we got about 40, around 35, 40 employees, something like that. Could have been like 27 of them quit. And I come in on Sunday morning, like, how you doing? I'm doing great. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm supposed to do this next week. Ain't got nobody to do it. I'm going to do a bunch of it myself, but I can't do it all. But, you know, how do you live your life other than on Sunday mornings? Because when you come to church on Sunday mornings, man, you're great. You know, everybody's great. Everybody's fine. Everybody's doing, you know, awesome. But let's look at you on Monday morning. Monday afternoon. Now, how you living your life? Now, you're always going to be perfect, and you're going to be, you know, the Christian example. Reality says, no, you're not. You may catch me on some crazy days, and you'll be thinking, man, I can't believe that dude was up there speaking. So, but it's from being consistent in the way that you live. Being consistent. So the next thing we're going to talk about is persevere. Perseverance. That's one of my favorite words. Perseverance. persevere, to keep going. That's just like your, it goes all the way back to becoming a Christian and just persevering. It seemed like when I became a Christian, you know, everything would come against you. Everything was coming. It's like before I became a Christian, you know, I was doing okay. There was no, you know, I was just maintaining. I'm just moving right along, maintaining. And then I become a Christian, and it's like everything, all hell broke loose. And it happens that way. It does happen that way. The enemy, the devil, Lucifer, Satan, if you're on his team, there ain't nothing, he ain't got nothing to worry about. But as soon as you come off his team, the easiest time to get you is right when you change. And then you're like, man, I don't know nothing about this Christian life, but I can't live this way. It's perseverance. It's making that commitment, being committed to God first and persevering. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Sometimes it's ice cream and cake. Y'all heard that song? Ice cream and cake and cake and ice cream and cake. Sometimes it's that way. Other times, and more times than not, it's cabbage and turnip greens. And I like cabbage and turnip greens. Boiled okra. I can even eat that. It don't make me no difference. I don't call much food. I can eat about anything. But it all, you know, ice cream and cake tastes good, but is it really good for you? Come on. No, it's not. Some of it, a little bit of it, is good for you. Is cabbage and turnip greens good for you or okra? Yes, it is good for you. And you probably need more of it than you do ice. I know you need more cabbage and turnip greens than you do ice cream and cake. Y'all need to, do you see what I'm going with this? Sometimes it's ice cream and cake. Other times it's cabbage and turnip greens. And we want to be upset when things are not going well for us. You want to get upset. You're like, I don't know why, God, why am I having to go through this? Why, God, am I, you know, why is my wife acting this way? And she's thinking, why did he have to go buy that whatever he bought? And with my case, you'd be like, what? It could be anything. Why did he have to go buy that boat? Why did he have to go buy that piece of equipment? What, you know, what's his thinking behind it? And I'm thinking, well, you know, trying to do what's best for the family. And when things aren't going just smooth, how many of you live on the smooth road all the time? No, nobody. Especially if you're trying to live right and build your life upon the only foundation that matters. It's not always going to be smooth. Matthew 9. Here we go. So this is the Pharisees, right? While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Amen. You know, just think about it. Where are you at? Where are you at we'll give you some examples here. God used a murderer to lead his people out of bondage. Called an adulterer and a murderer the apple of his eye. Called 12 jacked up individuals to start and shepherd his church. What is his teachings? First will be last. Last will be first. To lead is to serve. Want to go high? First go low. You want to lead your family? You want to start leading your family? Start by serving your family. You want to lead well? Serve better. Matthew 6, 31 through 33. This is what Jesus had to say. He said, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Married with children. What's the secret? God first. Build your life upon the rock. The one that's not going to be moved. The rock. The eternal foundation. There's only one thing that's eternal, and that's God and his grace and his mercy and his love. God first, not second, not an afterthought, but first. Will it be easy? No. It's not going to be all ice cream and cake. It's not going to be all peaches and rose petals. It's going to be sweet and sour. It's going to be black and white. It's going to be sweet and salty. It's going to be easy, but yet it's going to be hard. God first. Married with children. Pass the baton. Lead them in the right direction by serving them the way that Jesus served us. So if you would bow your heads, close your eyes. You know, there's going to be a prayer team up here in just a few minutes. And if you're like, you know what? I haven't put God first. I put some other things ahead of this. It's all right. That's where grace comes in. This is where mercy comes in. This is where forgiveness comes in. This is where the love of God intersects your life. And there's going to be a group of individuals up here, and they want to pray with you. And if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, you know, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? And if he's saying to you, you need to change. You need to change the direction that you're leading, if you're leading at all. Or you might be like, hey, you know what? I want to lead my family well. I want to steward that which God has given me well. I need to serve my family. And by serving them, I'll be leading them. If that's you, come up afterwards. Married with children. It's a blessing and an honor and a struggle. Makes you happy, makes you sad. Lord, we just pray for the people this morning, God, Lord, that you would just speak to their lives. Lord, that you would just do the work that only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, let's worship.